Hello and welcome back. My name is Rabbi Avi Heller, and together we are learning Masechet Megillah. We are at the very bottom of Daf Chaf Hei Amud Aleph, that's 25a, four lines up from the bottom where it says Gemara. This series of recordings is a joint project of the OU Department of Synagogue Services, OU Torah, and the Daf HaShavua Foundation. We are discussing certain aspects of Torah reading. In particular, they had a custom to not only read the Torah out loud in Hebrew, verse by verse, but after every verse, they would translate it into Aramaic, which was a language that everyone understood, and therefore everyone was able to understand the Torah reading. So our discussion is about some areas, some sections of the Torah that are not translated. Tanu Rabbanan, our rabbis taught. Yesh nikrin umetargamin, there are some that are read in the Hebrew, umetargamin, and they are also translated into the Aramaic. The yesh nikrin velo metargamin, and there are some that are read in the Hebrew but not translated into Aramaic. Now, in our version of the Gemara, we have the next line, which is v'yesh lo nikrin v'lo metargamin. There are some sections of the Torah which we do not read in the Hebrew and do not read in the Aramaic. And this is strange. It would seem like we have to read the entire Torah, and there is no section of the Torah that we wouldn't read in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Kriyat HaTorah. There was a line in our Mishnah that seemed to indicate that possibly Birkat Kohanim was not read in the Hebrew, but certainly it is our custom to read it in the Hebrew, and we'll discuss the issue with Birkat Kohanim a little later in the Gemara. There are some girsas of the Gemara. Maharab Runchberg takes this section out of the Gemara and says that it should not be there, that it was a scribal error. And then the teaching goes on, Elu Nikrin Umetargamin. These are the sections of the Torah that are read in the Torah and that are also translated. Now, in particular, that's the standard, is that you read and translate. But these are sections of the Torah that you might have thought you wouldn't translate because there's something about them that's shameful or difficult or challenging. Maybe we wouldn't want to either say them in public or they might be misunderstood by people coming to Shul who are unlearned. So sections that you might have thought wouldn't be translated, but are. Now, what we have here at the diamond dots, usually in between the diamond dots, as we've mentioned a number of times, is a quotation from the Mishnah. But in this case, it's a different feature, which is that occasionally, in order to assist with memorizing the Gemara, which was something that many people did and still do in some places, they gave a mnemonic, which was sort of a shorthand briefing about all the cases that are going to be mentioned up next so that it would be more easy to remember them. So the mnemonic here is Balat Akan Nashve Siman. And whenever it says Siman, it means that this is a mnemonic sign to help you remember. If you remember Balat Akan Nashve, you can remember all the cases of the sections of the Torah that are read and not translated. Now I'm going to mention what they are briefly, and then we'll go through them one at a time. It actually was not so simple to figure them all out, but I worked through it, and I think I have them all correct. So Balat stands for Bereshit, that's the Bet. Lamed stands for Lot, and the Taf stands for Tamar. Akan stands for Egel, the Kuf stands for Klalot, and the Nun, I'm not 100% sure, but I think it stands for the Nun in Onshin, punishments. Then the last word, Nashve, stands for, I believe, and it's not 100% clear to me either, but the Nun, I think, stands for the Nun in Amnon, as in Amnon v'Tamar. The Shin, I think, is the Shin in Avshalom. The Pei should be Pilegesh, like Pilegesh Bagiva. And the Hei is Hodayat Yerushalayim, which we mentioned in our Mishnah, is a section in Yechezkel that is not supposed to be read as a Haftorah. So those should be the 10 cases that are mentioned. And we're going to go through them one at a time. Two lines up from the bottom at the end of the line. Ma'ase Bereshit, the story of creation, the first chapter of the Torah, Nikra Umetargem, is both read in the Hebrew and translated. Pshita, that's obvious. Of course you would read the first chapter of the Torah and translate it. What would be wrong with that? Mahu Detema, what might you have thought? Atu, it might lead you, Lishayule, to ask, Mala Mala, what is above the heavens? Mala Mata, what is below the earth? Uma lifnim, what came before creation, uma la'achor, and what comes in the end of days, kamash malan, that we are not worried about that. There is an idea mentioned in Pirkei Avot and Masechet Sanhedrin that a person shouldn't ask about things that come before, you know, that are too far out of the human experience for us to comprehend. So you might have thought that when we're talking about Bereshit, that would lead us to ask those kinds of questions that we're not supposed to ask, kamash malan, that we do not worry about that. The second example, which is Lot, Ma'aseh Lot, Ushte benotav and his two daughters, Nikra umetargem, is read and translated. The problem with Lot and his two daughters is that it's not a nice story. After Lot and his two daughters ran away from Sodom and all those cities were destroyed, they thought they were the last people in the world. And they had an incestuous relationship with their father, and they each had children from their father, and it's not a nice story. So maybe we didn't want to translate it. Pshita, so obviously we should read it. It's part of the Torah, after all. Mahu detema, what might you have thought? Nichush lichvodu de Avraham, perhaps we were concerned about Avraham's kavod. After all, Lot was Avraham's nephew, and he raised Lot. And if this is what happened to Avraham's nephew and his family, it might reflect badly on Avraham and the way in which he raised Lot. Kamash Malan comes to teach us that we are not concerned about this. It does not explain why we are not concerned about it in either of these cases. In this case, some people suggest that we are not worried about it because we have an excuse for them, that they really thought they were the last people alive in the world, and so they thought they had an exception. Or perhaps it's because Lot already was an apple that fell far from the tree. He had already chosen to leave Avraham's way of life and to move to Sodom, so perhaps it's not a reflection on Avraham at all. The next story is Ma'ase Tamar v'Yehuda. As we mentioned in our last recording, Yehuda did not treat Tamar nicely after her first two husbands died. Both of them were his sons. He made her wait. He wanted her to wait as a widow until his youngest son was old enough to do Yibum or Chalitza to her. And one of the things, so what she did to entrap him is she dressed up as a prostitute at the crossroads, and he came and hired her as a prostitute at the crossroads. So this is an era. This is a story that's a little shameful to Yehuda, so that might be our reason for not wanting to read it. But the Gemara says, Nikra umetargem, it's read and translated. Pshita, it's obvious, it's part of the Torah. Of course it should be read and translated. Mahu detema, what might you have thought? We're on the fifth line down from the top. Lechush, we might have been worried, lichvodu de Yehuda, for the honor of Yehuda. Kamash malan, this comes to teach us. Shibchei, his shame, but his praise. Shibchei hu, it's to his praise. The ode, that he, in the end, admitted that he had made that he had sinned. He said that tzad kamimani, she's more righteous than I am, implying that he had made an error and had done the wrong thing. And therefore, because we can learn from him how a person can take responsibility for their mistakes, it's actually to his shevach. The next story is Ma'ase Egel HaRishon, the story of the golden calf. And we call it the Egel HaRishon is the actual story, the story as it's described in the Torah, when Moshe went up on the mountain to get the two tablets. And when he came down, he saw the people dancing and celebrating around the golden calf. Nikra u'metargem, it's read and translated. Pshita, obviously. Mahu t'tema, what might you have thought? Lechush, we might have been worried. Lichvodan shel Yisrael, for the honor of the Jewish people. After all, it's very shameful that right after they had left Mitzrayim, that Moshe went up to get the Torah, and they couldn't even wait for him, and they worshipped the golden calf. Kamash Malan comes to teach us, Kol shekein denichalahu, all the more so that it was good for them, to have Yiluhu kapara, for in the end, they received atonement, and Hashem forgave them. So this story is just part of the story, since it's not the end of the story, and they did receive kapara, it is not excessively shameful for them. Klalot ubrachot, the curses and the blessings. So there's this section at the end of the Torah, where it's mentioned, they're close, mentioned twice in the Torah, where the Jewish people are given both terrible prophecy of what will happen to them if they don't follow Hashem's will, and also tremendous brachot that will happen to them if they do follow Hashem's will. Some Rishonim believe that brachos don't really belong here, or that really it doesn't apply to brachot, but that if you're not going to translate the curses, then you also wouldn't translate the brachot, so we put them together. Klalotu brachot, nikrinu metargemin, they're both read and translated. Pshita, obviously. Mahu detema, what might you have thought? Nechush, we might have been worried. Dilma feiga datayhu detzibura, perhaps it would suffuse the minds of the congregation. In other words, hearing about the, so to speak, Holocaust-level terrible things that would happen to the Jewish people in the curses might make them depressed or overwhelm them with nervousness. Kamashmalan comes to teach us that we are not concerned about that. Azharot ve'onshin, the Azharot and Onshin. Azharot are the parts of the Torah where it tells you not to do things. And Onshin are the parts where it says what punishment you get for doing if you do the things that you're not supposed to do. Now, of course, this is a large part of the Torah. So the Hava Mina here is that every negative commandment and every punishment would be omitted from the translation. So Nikrinu Metargamin, these are also read and translated. Pshita, obviously they should be read. Mahu Tetema, what might you have thought? Nechush, we might have been worried. Dilma Atu Lemebad Miyira, perhaps the Jewish people will come to do all of the commandments only out of fear and not out of, he's implying, not out of love. And that would be a negative outcome. They'd be so scared by all the Onshin that they would just do the mitzvah because they were scared. Kamash Malan comes to teach us that we are not concerned about that. Maasei Amnon v'Tamar, the story of Amnon and Tamar, as we mentioned in our previous recording, Amnon was David's son, and he fell in love with and ultimately forced himself on and raped his half-sister Tamar. Nikra u'Metargem is read and translated. Now, of course, this story here is now a story that we're talking about that's not in the Torah. It's in the Nevi'im and Ketuvim. It's in Nach. So this is a whole question that we dealt with earlier as to whether or not they did a Targum for Nevi'im, but certainly in some places and at some times they did do a Targum, even in places, as far as I know, that do a Targum on the Torah nowadays. I don't know of anyone that does a Targum on the Nevi'im. And then it doesn't add in what the Hava Amina here is, but in brackets we have an additional one, Maaseh Avshalom Nikra Umatargim. In the same story, actually it comes before the story of Amnon and Tamar, is the story of Avshalom, who was also David's son, and he wanted to become the king. And he got bad advice from Achitophel, and the advice he had was that he should take his father's concubines as part of the process of showing himself that he was the king. But this, of course, was actually a rebellion against the king and against his father. This story is found in Shmuel Bet, chapter 16, and it says, "Vayavo Avshalom al pilegesh aviv leinei kol Yisrael." In a public way, Avshalom took one of David's concubines. So that's also a shameful story for Avshalom and for David. Pshita, so in both of these stories, Mahu Detema, what might you have thought? Lechush Likari de David, we were worried in both of these stories, both the story of Amnon and Tamar, who were David's children, and of Shalom, who was David's son, that we'd be concerned about David's honor. Kamash Malan comes to teach us that we are not concerned about David's honor in these cases. It does not explain in the Gemara why we're not concerned about it, but it just says that we are not. Maaseh Pilegesh Bagiva, and the story of the Pilegesh Bagiva, which is a very shameful story about how the rest of the tribes, it's the last section of Sefer Shoftim, and it's the story of how all of the tribes had to go to war against the tribe of Binyamin and almost destroyed them. Nikra Umetargim, that's also read and translated. Pshita, obviously. Mahut Tema, what might you have thought? Lechush, we might have been concerned. Lichvodo de Binyamin, for the honor of the tribe of Binyamin, which acted shamefully and was punished very severely. Kamash Malana comes to teach us that we are not concerned about that. Perhaps the reason for that is eventually Binyamin was welcomed back into the other tribes and were able to marry to get married again and have more children. This is part of the celebration of the holiday of Tu B'Av. And finally, the last case, Hodat Yerushalayim, which we discussed in the Mishnah, we said is an area that is a section of Yechezkel, it's the 16th chapter of Yechezkel, that is not supposed to be read as a Haftorah. So Hodat Yerushalayim Eto Avoteha, Nikra Umetargim, is also read and translated. Now this seems to go against our Mishnah because our Mishnah says you should not read it as a Haftorah, and therefore you wouldn't read it or have it be translated. Pshita, obviously, it should be read and translated. Lafuke mid Rabbi Eliezer. No, it's coming to disagree with our Mishnah, with Rabbi Eliezer and our Mishnah. Detanya, who, as it said in a Braita, Maaseh ba'adam echad. So before we read the story, which is a weird story, this story is going to show that we are disagreeing with Rabbi Eliezer. Detanya, as it said in the Braita, Maaseh ba'adam echad, there was a certain person, Shaya korei l'malam Rabbi Eliezer, he was reading above Rabbi Eliezer, meaning on the Bima, Hodat Yerushalayim et Avoteha. He was reading this section of Yechezkel, presumably as a haftarah. Amar lo, Rabbi Elazar said to him, he was, I think, upset that he was reading it. Ad she'ata bodek b'tavot Yerushalayim, before you go checking into the sins of Jerusalem, tse yuvdok b'tavot imecha, go check into the sins of your own mother, which is a pretty rude thing to say, especially in Shul. But Badku Acharav, they went and checked after this guy's Yichus, Umatzu Boshemet Pasul, and they found that in fact there was a problem in his lineage, that something was wrong, that there was maybe what I think one of his mother, his grandmother was not Jewish or something like that, that they found, or was a Pasul, was Pasul in some way. So they went and found it and found that out. So the question is, what do we learn from this? So we learn from this that Rabbi Eliezer didn't want people to read that Haftorah and was angry at people. But putting aside the fact that in this particular case, this guy probably shouldn't have been reading that Haftorah because he had a problem in his own Yichus, it's not clear that we shouldn't, that we agree with Rabbi Eliezer, because the whole long Breita that we just learned seems to disagree with Rabbi Eliezer, and in fact it seems that we paskin against Rabbi Eliezer, even though, and I'm not 100% sure of this, but I did look, we never actually read Hodat Yerushalayim as a Haftorah. We're going to stop there, and we have one more recording until we finish the third Perek. Have a wonderful day.